We're going to take a look at the Word. If you don't have a Bible with you, check under the seats. There's some few Bibles underneath some of the seats. In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because He was before me.'" From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at Your Word this morning, we ask that You would send Your Holy Spirit to illuminate it for us, that You would give We speak of light. We speak of You. Be here in our midst. Guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. With God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. There are some people who think that that phrase is somehow ambiguous. That there was maybe a small g on the God, that there were multiple gods, something going on. But basically what this verse and the entire passage that I pointed out drives to one succinct point. Jesus isn't just a regular person. He was and is God. It proclaims His deity. Not that He's one of several deities, but He is the deity. God. The one and only. He came in flesh, made His dwelling among us for our purpose. That's why we're going to take communion today. He came for the sole purpose that He could be crucified, as David was talking about, that He could be crucified for our sins. For your sins, for my sins, for our neighbor's sins, for our parents' sins, and for our children's sins. He came, says here, for all men. In Him was that life, and that life was the light of men. And when we drop on down to verse 9, it says, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." That light to every man means that Jesus is the light to, not, we're talking man in the sense of mankind here, not man as in a male. that this light is for everybody. There are some people who think that one religion is as good as another, that they are somehow the same, that Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Shinto, animism, like as some Native Hmong or Native American might practice. Those are somehow equal ways to God. What this is saying is that there is just one way, that there is one light for all mankind, because He is the one who created all mankind. See, that's what it all rests upon, the thrust here, is that everything that was created by and through Christ. He wasn't just a sideline observer, somebody who stood off and watched while God the Father and God the Holy Spirit made creation. God the Son was present and part of it, intimately, intrinsically involved. And because of that, all of creation, all that came through Him, and the truth that's available to the world comes from Him and is available for all the world. There aren't multiple truths for different parts of the world. There's one truth, and He's it. That one light. But the darkness, it says, was confused by the light. Anybody ever wake up in the middle of the night and because somebody turned on a light? Like, you know, you're like, I can't see, I'm confused. Well, instead of adjusting to the light and learning about the truth, instead, what a lot of the darkness has done is immediately gotten up and tried to shut off the light switch, or maybe pulled a pillow over their head. Don and I have a thing where whichever one of us happens to have to get up early in the morning says, you know, watch out, turn on the light. And we got to give the other one at least a 3-second warning so that they have time to take their head and put it in the pillow so the light doesn't get in our face. That's the world with Jesus. They saw the light, but they didn't understand it. They didn't receive it. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him. Now, there's two ways not to recognize somebody, either because you've never met them before, or because you don't look at them. Now, according to this, all that have been made was made through Him. So we should all recognize Him on the basis of having met Him previously. We didn't come into this world through any other means but by Him. That means there has to be a connection there. So the only other way that we... So that reason that we had never met Him before can't be true. So what is it? We don't look at Him. We refuse to look at Him and receive the light. The light is blinding. I want the darkness. Give me my pillow to put over my face. Shut off the light. But yet He came to that which was His own, even though it didn't receive Him. He came to this earth to die on the cross. David was talking about it was a big hunk of wood, a heavy hunk of wood. And it wasn't a pleasurable experience. He was whipped 39 times, is it? crown of thorns, carry a big crossbar up the hill, about a mile away. All of that on top of the sleep deprivation, the dehydration. The sorrow of having been denied, having had everybody who was around him flee instead of standing by him as they professed that they would, to be abandoned in the midst of his difficulties, most trying time. He came into the world knowing that all those things were going to happen for the express purpose of bringing us the light so that we could be released and could become children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Reborn, made new. Now we're going to be going through the Gospel of John, and we're going to see in a few weeks, Jesus talks to Nicodemus in chapter 3 about being born again and what that's about. But that's what's being talked about here, is being reborn, being made children, born of God. Now, it says, no one ever seen God but the one and only. You know, to see God was to die. That was because of His holy nature, His awesome nature. Moses wanted to see God. So what God actually had to hide His full countenance from Him. He put Moses in a cleft of the rock. And as he passed by, He covered His hand over him. So that then Moses kind of peeked out and saw the trailing, backside of God. And that was more than what he could take. He literally glowed, radiated just from that contact. Yet here we have Jesus saying, who not only was the Father, but He was the Son. He was and is God, telling us about God. See, Moses couldn't tell us about God in the detail that Jesus could, because he didn't know Him as well. And he was considered God's friend, that he spoke, said face to face with God. But that face that Moses spoke to God was veiled. God didn't allow Moses to see His full countenance because it would have destroyed His earthly presence. No, what happens here is we have Jesus coming, and He can tell us about God because He's seen God. He was with God at the beginning. He was God. He is God. That's why He can tell us about Him. See, no one has ever seen God but God, the one and only. He who is at the Father's side has made Him known. See, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that created the entirety of creation. And this passage that we read today and looked at so far talks about that this God whom we worship loved us so much that He sent this Son to be the flesh for us. The Word, the Logos, the Truth, to come and be here for you and me. To live the life that He lived and to die the death that He died so that He could then be resurrected and that He could be the first fruits of eternal life. Jesus was the Word become flesh. The Truth, the Light. They're all symbols of one thing, and that is God. And if you have any doubt that Scripture teaches who it is that died on the cross for us. I want you to reread this passage and reread this passage until you can tell me that it says something different. Because it doesn't. What it will tell you is that God is God and God is Jesus. And that He came to redeem us because He loves us. We're going to take communion this morning to celebrate that, to remember it, to recognize the fact that we are not ones who live without a hope, but we do have the hope of eternal life. We do have the gift of salvation and grace. As it said there in the passage, grace and mercy is what the Son brought. That grace and mercy is represented in the cup and in the bread, which represents the broken body and blood of and shed blood of Christ. Now as we take communion this morning, again I just want to invite you, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to receive communion here with us this morning. If you have not done so, but yet would like to do so, you can do so as we take communion. Through the act of taking communion, you can pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, as you receive the bread and as you receive the cup. You can ask, if you believe on Jesus and the work that He did, you can be made a child of God, born of God. It's made new, brand new. After we take communion, I'm going to encourage you to come forward if you need prayer today. You might need prayer because you're having difficulties with a family member. You might need prayer because you're having illness. You might need prayer because you're having job difficulties. Any number of things. Something I mentioned, many things I didn't. Okay, if you need prayer, come forward. We'll anoint, we'll pray for you. If you receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior, please come forward. And we will ask God's blessing upon you and protection upon you as you begin your Christian walk. Ask the elders to come forward. As we distribute the bread and the cup, we'll distribute to all, and then we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon it. And then ask her, after all have received and we've asked the blessing, then we'll all take it together. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." As we receive the bread, let us prepare our hearts to take communion this morning. That we wouldn't take it unworthily, but that we would search ourselves and say, where am I not living for Christ? Where have I failed to hit the mark? Might we turn those things over to God, ask His forgiveness, and receive His mercy and His grace. Remember, mercy. Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment, which God is doing for us right now. And grace. Grace is the receiving of undeserved benefit and blessing, which we receive now too. George, would you please ask the blessing on the bread?
Our Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your plan of salvation and for having carried through with it to the completeness that we can have Your salvation today. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for having come down, the Word of God in flesh, to identify with mankind and to have given yourself the very body that was created for you to dwell in. Sacrifice for our sins. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Seat together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we thank you that you came as Word, that you came as the light, that you came as the truth, that you came as a man who was and is God to dwell amongst us, to show us how to live. And to die as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we could be cleansed and redeemed and born anew as new children of God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this gift. David, would you ask the blessing on the cup?
Father, we thank you that your blood, it cleanses us from all sin. We confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but for the power to keep from sinning. Thank you for breaking the power of sin through your shed blood. Mm-hmm. We ask that we will do this until you come again. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all drink together.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I'll ask the worship team to come forward. And let's all stand as we sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And again, if you need prayer for any reason at all, please come forward to these chairs in the front row. Or if you want to come and kneel before the altar, you're welcome to do so. Father God, we do thank you that you have given us so much, that you came in yourself and died for our sins. And Lord, more than that, that you came as the giver of all grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for that gift of grace and mercy, and we receive it this day. And now, Lord, help us to live out that grace and mercy towards others. Lord, might we not be like the wicked servant who was forgiven his debt by his king and then went out and tried to recover from somebody else. But instead, Lord, might we receive your gift of mercy and grace and then live out that mercy and grace towards others. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your light and your truth. Might we shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with God's grace.